Welcome to the Steroids Podcast with your host, Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Boom! Boom! Let's get started here. The Steroids Podcast is brought to you by Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. Now, for the first time in bodybuilding history, you have someone with no corporate interests and no obligation to please anyone, not walking on eggshells to not offend. Ultimate Guide to Roids gives you the information, the whole truth, not a full truth and a half truth, full truth. Ultimate Guide to Roids gives you the keys to the Lamborghini, gives you the information, and lets you decide what to do with it. It's a crime this information has been suppressed this long. Now let's get on with the podcast. Okay, welcome back to another episode of the Bodybuilding Podcast with your host, Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. I have been in South America for the past year. I first came here and I was in Ecuador for 3 months, and then I went to Argentina for about a month and a half, and then I went to Costa Rica. I was there for a month, and then I really liked Argentina, so I went back to Argentina. And after some more time, some more months in Argentina, I went to Paraguay for a little bit, and then I went back to Argentina again. You know what? When I keep on going back to places like that, that's because they're gravitating me. And then the other place that I went to while I was here was Uruguay. So for the past year, it's been a great trip here in South America, but I'm heading back to Thailand. Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand, heading back to Thailand. So that's what I've been doing for the past year. Why do I like Buenos Aires and Argentina so much? It's a great city, man. It's like Europe, but really like mixed with like a Latin flavor to it. And it's got nice people. It's safe. You can walk outside at night and, you know, you're not going to get killed, which you can't do that in some other areas in South America. You're safe here. So that's a big consideration, you know, because there are some places in the world where, you know, safety and survival are some of the most important things going on in those places of the world, you know, which in the West, for example, safety and survival isn't really like a high consideration. So the food here is great. I love the Italian influence on the culture. I love the Spanish influence on the culture. Probably Italian, though, is the biggest cultural influence here in Argentina. And the people are very polite. They've got a great accent. They're Spanish. They speak with a really cool accent to it. And yeah, I really have enjoyed Argentina, you know, the south of the world, of planet Earth. So I talk about my travels a little bit because I live a very unusual lifestyle, a travel lifestyle. And if you guys want to hear more about that and how I do that, you can go and listen to my other podcast, which is called Grab the Bull by the Horns, the Grab the Bull podcast. And that podcast is on iTunes and Spotify, yes, but it's also on YouTube, on the YouTube channel, Dan the Bodybuilder in Thailand. The Grab the Bull podcast is located on that channel. And it talks about my life. It talks about how I became the person that I am, how I started doing the things that I do, and really a lot of mindset stuff. And so if you're curious about, you know, you've been listening to a lot of the Steroids podcast, and you're interested in me, who I am, why I do what I do, and everything like that, go listen to the Grab the Bull podcast. And it's a video podcast too, you know, so that's where you can see it on Dan the Bodybuilder in Thailand YouTube channel. And then the other thing is, if you guys want to stay up to date with me and see what I'm doing on a daily basis, see what I'm seeing, because I like to, you know, rather than showing you guys a bunch of tourist stuff, I like to show you what life is like on the ground, right? Because I live in these countries. And I like to know what it's like on the ground, on the streets, on the sidewalks, and what that looks like. And so my Instagram, okay? My Instagram is where I show stuff like that. And I also have a lot of bodybuilding knowledge on my Instagram and everything too. And my Instagram is Bodybuilder in Thailand, at Bodybuilder in Thailand on Instagram. If you want to stay up to date with me, I post on that every day. All right. So let's get to the first question here. MaboFit asks, can you use insulin on rest days to keep growing? Let's say I only train for 3 days a week. Do I only take it those 3 days, or can I take it more without gaining only fat? All right, that's a really good question. So with insulin, you should be strategic with insulin use, because the insulin receptor of the body, the cells of the body have insulin receptors for intaking nutrition, since insulin is a transport molecule. This receptor behaves like it would other receptors respond to, like, recreational substances, okay? So, like, we all know that any kind of recreational substance has, like, a tolerance effect, and it's like a rapid tolerance effect, okay? And that you need, like, higher doses in order to achieve the same results if it's being used often. And so the insulin receptor works in the same way. So if you eat a lot of very high insulinogenic foods, you will lose your insulin sensitivity. And when your insulin sensitivity goes down, that's not good for bodybuilding, okay? And it also makes it so that your body composition is not going to be as good, because now if your insulin sensitivity has gone down, well, now your body is going to have to start producing more insulin every time you eat in order to get the nutrients out of the bloodstream and into the cells. And the insulin is the molecule that causes the fat gain. All right. The whole concept of obesity is, it's a hormonal disease of too much out of control insulin levels and having inappropriate amounts of insulin being released in response to the amounts of food that you're eating, okay? Obesity is a disease of very low insulin sensitivity and very high insulin secretion, which is also why you're constantly hungry, because your body is constantly producing too much insulin for the amount of food that you're eating. And so because of that, you're crashing your blood sugar all the time, because your body is just spraying out this inappropriate amount of insulin in response to the food that you're eating, because you're insulin insensitive, you're insulin resistant. So when we're talking about bodybuilding, fitness, sports, etc., we've got to be really careful and really strategic when we're talking about, you know, how carbohydrates are used, how sugars are used, or how a hormone like insulin would be used, okay? And if we're overdoing it, or if we're using it at times that are inappropriate, then we're going to hurt our insulin sensitivity and be going down the path to insulin resistance, which we don't want. So yes, bodybuilders, there are bodybuilders who, you know, take insulin every day, take it like with all their meals. And that's not the approach that I think is a good approach, because they are going to be making themselves insulin resistant through doing that. And it's also it's not healthy. Okay, it's not healthy to do that. So, like you said, you say you train. Mabel Fit says, say he trains 3 days a week. Do I take it only on those 3 days, or can you take more of it without gaining only fat? Like, you could take more of it, man, without only gaining fat. Like, if you took it on days that you didn't train, depending on the foods that you were eating, you could take more of it without gaining fat. Like, so one of the things is that it's very hard to convert proteins or convert carbohydrates into fats, into lipids. So that's why bodybuilders, when they're using insulin, while the insulin is active, they don't eat meals that contain dietary fats, because if they do have high insulin levels in their body and they eat meals that contains dietary fats, well, that insulin is just going to shove or jackhammer the dietary fat that they ate into their fat cells. And this is also the reason why, you know, the classic foods that everyone knows, if you eat a lot of them, you gain a lot of fat, because it's a combination of a high glycemic carbohydrate that produces a huge insulin spike with a fat that is then pile driven into the cells. So, you know, we got something like pizza, you know, so we've got, you know, white bread mixed with a bunch of cheese. Okay, so there's that high glycemic index carbohydrate with that fat there. Or you have something like ice cream, which is a mix of sugar and cream. So you have that sugar giving you the big insulin spike, and then you have the cream in there that then gets jackhammered into the cells. And, you know, all the other, you know, foods that everybody knows, that when you eat a lot of those foods, they promote fat gain. Okay, so if you think about those foods, they're always these combination of high glycemic index carbohydrate plus dietary fat. But then we think of other things that don't cause fat gain, and it's like, okay, well, you know, if you eat a meal and it's like steak and vegetables, or if you eat a meal and it's like chicken and potato or chicken and rice, these don't cause fat gain, so it's this, you can't have this thing where you've got huge insulin levels and you've got dietary fat in your bloodstream at the same time. So bodybuilders that are using insulin don't want to eat dietary fat while that insulin is active, okay? They want to eat dietary fat when that insulin is not active. And that's how somebody who is utilizing insulin is going to limit fat gain, because converting the proteins and converting the carbohydrates into fats is a very metabolically expensive process, and it's also rate limited. And by the time those conversions happen, most of the energy from the food has been used up. Those are processes that happen in the liver. And so this is what I'm saying, like the pros and the cons of using it, of using the insulin. I think that insulin, if it's used in bodybuilding, you know, it's a force multiplier along with growth hormone. Growth hormone is force multiplier too, meaning that these substances potentiate all other substances that you're using and make those substances more powerful, more effective, lower doses of the other substances more effective. So all steroid users know that when they're using steroids, if they have experience with growth hormone or insulin, that if they're using growth hormone or they're using insulin, that lower doses of steroids are more effective than they would be without that growth hormone and insulin. You get stronger effects from lower doses of steroids when you're using force multipliers like growth hormone and insulin alongside them. So you say, do I only take it those 3 days or can I take it more without gaining fat? Well, it's smart to only take it when you're doing exercising on those days. That's the way to do it to get the most insulin sensitivity. And also a lot of the top coaches don't have their athletes take insulin every day. They have their athletes take insulin like 2 days a week or 3 days a week, kind of like what you were saying, in order to preserve that insulin sensitivity. Just remember that the main thing that is going to be growing actual muscle tissue is the retention of the dietary proteins that you eat, okay? When you eat meat, what is the macronutrient, the main macronutrient that you get from the meat, the muscles of the animals? It is protein, because muscle tissue is composed of proteins. Muscle fuel storage is composed of carbohydrates, okay? So the muscle tissue is the non-transient muscle, the muscle that you can build on from cycle to cycle and keep on getting bigger and making progress. The muscle fuel storage is something that makes you look cool while you're on cycle, okay? And then it goes away when you're off cycle. So if you want to be making long-term gains in bodybuilding over time and getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you've got to be accumulating and storing your dietary proteins. And the storage depot of dietary proteins is the muscles. So that's what all the bodybuilders should be focusing on, is retaining and storing more dietary protein so that they get more muscle tissue. And then things like insulin helps the body store. It's a storage hormone, okay? So for example, a person that is using insulin will be able to retain more protein from their diet than someone who is not using insulin, because that storage hormone, it has a protein sparing effect. It spares the proteins from being catabolized. So that's one of the ways that insulin is a force multiplier. And again, you don't have to always use, you know, and we're talking about elite bodybuilders here, guys. We're not talking about, you know, beginners or something like this when we're talking about insulin use in bodybuilding. And just remember, though, that your body's own natural insulin is also very potent, and you can manipulate your body's own natural insulin. So if you're going to use artificial insulin, in my opinion, it is good to limit it. And like you asked, like 3 days a week, 2 days a week, that's good. But you can still manipulate your insulin levels using carbohydrates on other days. So that's pretty much what I think. Let's move on to the next part of the question. So he says, do you need a steroid for using testosterone and growth hormone? I feel that if I only use test growth hormone and insulin, something's missing. Like I will plateau too quickly and need to add at least some Anavar. So he means like an anabolic type of steroid being added to the test growth hormone and insulin. And it does have a good effect. I mean, and especially the cosmetic effect. It's not necessary. It's not necessary for muscle growth and muscle tissue to use that test growth hormone and insulin all the time, to use that anabolic along with the test and growth hormone or plus insulin if the person is using that. It's not necessary to use the anabolic, but the person is going to look a lot better if they're using the anabolic, and bodybuilders want to look good. So yeah, guys, you know, want to use, you know, more than just testosterone. Because if they're only on testosterone, they're not going to be looking as good if they're on testosterone and Anavar, or testosterone and Winstrol, or testosterone and Primobolan, or testosterone and trenbolone, you know? So that's really where that goes. But can you still make progress with just testosterone, growth hormone, and insulin is what MabelFit asks. And yeah, you can. So there's many different considerations going on here, you know, because it may be a budget consideration, it may be a health-focused consideration, etc. But the anabolic type of steroid, the artificial anabolic type of steroid, is helpful, and it helps you look good, but it's not quite required, you know. Testosterone is pretty much balanced between anabolic and androgenic effects. And of course, adding something else to that is going to enhance the effects, you know. So like, you add a very anabolic hormone like primobolan to a good dose of testosterone, and now you have a much higher protein accumulating ability. And your body's going to be more efficient. Your metabolism is going to be more efficient at accumulating those dietary proteins. But would you not be able to do it if you weren't using the primobolan, or you weren't using the Anavar or the Tren or the Deca or whatever, you know? Would you not be able to accumulate dietary proteins? No, you can still do it on test and growth hormone. But yeah, of course, it's an advantage to use an anabolic such as Anavar, Winstrol, Tren, Primo, it's Deca, etc. It's an advantage. But not everybody wants to use that stuff all the time. And one of the things that is really unhealthy is using this kind of stuff, these kind of like non-natural hormones on a regular basis all the time, and like kind of like living on them, you know, which is a serious temptation for a lot of bodybuilders. And that is going to harm you over the long term. And then for other guys too, like, you know, they've got budget concerns, and they're thinking, well, what's the cheapest thing that I can get like a lot of firepower out of? And like, yeah, that's testosterone. There's a lot of firepower to be had from testosterone, and it's not like really expensive stuff. This is a question where it's like there are pros and cons, and also there's going to be like the individual guy's situation. So rather than saying, do you need a steroid if you're using test and growth hormone and you feel like something's missing, it's like, yeah, it's definitely better. It's an advantage to use an anabolic alongside that. But we don't know what your personal situation is, or like as far as like health, as far as finances, as far as like your goal. And so it's hard to give you a really like clear-cut answer on this. I think the best answer that I can say is just that, yes, it's an advantage to use the anabolic alongside the testosterone. Okay, so let's get to the next question. The next question is from Ryan. He says, hey Dan, question for your podcast. What do you think Hanny Rambod is doing with his clients to give them the freaky, grainy, alien-like look that other top-level competitors aren't doing? Phil, Jay, and Hadi had a very unique look when they stepped on stage. Even Bumstead transformed when Hanny took him under his wing. Appreciate all the information you're putting out. Learned a ton from you over the years. Yeah, so Hanny Rambod is one of the top coaches in bodybuilding, and he doesn't give out his secrets, okay? he's not going to tell what his secrets are. And so if I pretended like I knew what his secrets are, that wouldn't be authentic. But looking at his clients, what comes to my mind when I look at his clients is there's something going on with insulin and diuretics here. That's the picture or the words that come into my mind when I see his clients is there's a special manipulation of diuretics and insulin going on to produce that look. And Lasix comes to mind. I mean, Lasix is used. I mean, it's used in medicine, but it's also used in bodybuilding. But the method of using the Lasix, the type of Lasix that is used, can be a factor there. And to me, it appears like there's some kind of Lasix / insulin thing going on to produce that look. But to say it wouldn't be genuine if I said that I knew what Hanny Rambod's, you know, ultimate protocols are, that, you know, he works with guys and it's like, boom, like they, you know, have major success, major improvements over guys that aren't working with him. So he's got a special method going on, and he's one of the top coaches in the world for a reason. And he's really, really good at what he's doing. And he's got secrets, and he's not telling those secrets, and he's not going to tell those secrets. He's one of those guys, you know? And so it is what it is, man. All right, next question. Fremont asks, hey, I'm off 8 months now from a 2.5-year cycle. My test level is coming back in the low normal range. Want to do some small cycle, but don't want to recover this long again the next time. Was thinking about some 6 to 8 week SARM or Anavar, because that hopefully don't shut me down completely again. What's your opinion? Well, my opinion is that, like, going on and off of steroids and trying to, like, recover your natural levels and then killing them again with the steroids and then trying to recover them again and then purposely killing them again with the steroids, I don't like that, man. I think that guys should be, I think the better way to do it is to have your time when you're going to be taking your steroids and say, like, okay, I've got 5 years or I've got 10 years or something like that. And then to make sure that, you know, you're working hard and, you know, that you have a deadline and you're not going to be using them indefinitely. Now, you can be using TRT indefinitely, and that's not going to be something that's going to, you know, blow the gasket and blow the bodybuilder up in a bad way, make everything come falling down around his head. But as far as going off cycle, on cycle, I don't like that. I'm definitely a fan of blasting and cruising. So if you don't want to be on cycle, but you can just take 1 milliliter of testosterone per week, you're going to look way different than when you're on cycle, okay? You're going to look way different, but you're not going to lose a lot of muscle tissue, okay? And the other thing is that even if you do lose a lot of muscle tissue, when you go back on steroids again and you go back on the cycle that you had, the cycles that you were doing that made you get the tissue in the first place, even if you have atrophied, the body wants to get back to where it was, okay? And once you start the chemicals again and you start hitting them at the same dosages that were being hit in the past, the body responds and it snaps back to its previous form. And of course, that goes with the diet too. It goes with the training and the weights that you were using. It's got to be all of the above. And that goes without saying. You know, once you get back, but what I'm trying to say is that once you've been somewhere one time on steroids, that the fact that you had built that amount of muscle, that you had built that amount of strength, the muscle cells are permanently changed because of that. And when you reapply the hormones again at those same dosages, the body wants to snap back to the way that it was when it was jacked up before. So that's like blasting and cruising, or coming off cycle and then coming back on cycle and kind of like expectations, you know, and with like TRT between cycles, you're going to look a lot different when you're on the TRT, but it's, you're not really going to lose a lot of muscle tissue. And so then when you do go back on cycle, it's like an explosion of gains, you know, because it's like everything reanimates and you didn't really lose a lot of the tissue. It was really just the look that changed. And then when you reanimate that tissue with the meds again, it's really explosive. So then you were thinking, you know, a 6 to 8 week SARM or Anavar, because you don't want to get shut down. Okay, yeah, like, you know, Ostarine or Anavar are not suppressive and like 4-ish week cycles, you know, not super suppressive. You know, they might shut your natural testosterone down like half or so like that, using them at like moderate dosages, something like 10 to 40 milligrams per day, and doing that for like 4 to 5 weeks. However, at high dosages and for extended periods of time, they do shut off the natural testosterone potently. Really, what would be more convenient would be to take HCG. If you could just take HCG and not let your testicles ever get atrophied or shrunk on the cycle, that would take out a lot of the difficulty of bringing yourself back or bringing your natural system back online after you've used steroids, after you've used stuff. So, you know, really taking something like 500 IUs of HCG a few times per week would make a big difference for you if you were to use anabolics again. All right, Farrell asks, double question for the pod. I'm currently on a cruise of 1 milliliter of enanthate and 1 milliliter DECA once a week, and I've been fasting the last few days to drop belly fat. What's your opinion on fasting while on juice? Also going to run 3 milliliters of test and 1 milliliter of DECA and take 1 Anadrol a day. Will I get good gains? I feel I definitely need to eat more every day. Okay, so 3 milliliters of test, 1 milliliter of DECA with an Anadrol per day. That's an effective cycle. But you say that you're on 1 milliliter enanthate and 1 milliliter DECA right now, and you're doing some fasting to drop belly fat. And what do I think about fasting while on juice? Well, I think it's really good. So when you're on juice, you are not really losing a lot of muscle tissue. Okay. That the juice is protecting that. And then the other thing is that, like, the physiology of fasting is very muscle sparing. So when you fast, your growth hormone levels go up like 3 to 5 times as high as they are within like 24 hours of starting fasting. There's a gigantic rise in human growth hormone levels. And we know that growth hormone is very protein sparing. So your body isn't going to be catabolizing proteins from muscle tissue when you have a lot of growth hormone in your system. And that's what happens when you fast. There are multiple metabolic switches that happen when you fast that are anti-muscle catabolism switches. And now just think about, what is fat for? Well, it's stored energy for times where there's not a lot of energy. So honestly, fasting is like the body's primary method of losing fat. That's like what fat is there for. Fat is there for the body to feed on when there's not other food around. And so I think that fasting on steroids, especially since steroids are very anti-catabolic, they're more anti-catabolic than they are anabolic. They're much better at stopping muscle from being destroyed than they are at building muscle. I think that fasting is a very, very potent fat loss method on steroids, and it really works. You know, I think it works a lot better on steroids then it works natural. Fasting natural, you know what? It makes the testosterone levels go down too low to do fasting. Okay, so like, yeah, you've got growth hormone going up, but the testosterone levels get tanked from fasting. Whereas if you're artificially putting your testosterone in, you don't have that problem. And now you have the high growth hormone levels too. So like I was saying before, fasting, prolonged fasting even on steroids, or like protein sparing modified fasting, very potent at fat loss, just because of the physiology of what your body starts doing when there's an extended period without food. And what is that fat tissue? What does it exist for? It exists for your body to feed on when you're in times of food scarcity. So it's the fuel storage source that your body is looking for. All right. Next question. Hugh asks, for the dextrose protocol, would you advise using that method sparingly? I don't gorge on sugary treats, but I don't strictly avoid carbs and sweets. I shared the protocol with my brother, and he was apprehensive about what effects on how this could increase one's inclination to diabetes. Absolutely, dude. Absolutely. So bodybuilding is not a healthy thing, okay? So the next thing he says, I understand bodybuilding itself has inherent risks, and the information you share is for information and entertainment purposes. So the, like I've said, when that protocol that I shared, the pre, intra, post workout protocol with, you know, doing a like 200 grams of like dextrose glucose intra workout, that's for bodybuilders who are over 220 pounds, who are already strong, who already got a lot of muscle mass. This is for big guys, okay? This is not for smaller dudes in the gym to take that into workout, sipping on that drink, you know, 800 calories of sugar. Well, it's not sugar, it's dextrose or glucose, which is different than sugar, because sugar is a mix of glucose and fructose, which does not have the same effect in your body, okay? And so you're also only doing this while exercising. And how much energy do you use when you exercise, okay? Because most people go to the gym for like an hour and a half. And so let's say like maybe you are normally burning up like 200 calories or maybe 100 calorie of energy, like more than that, probably 150 or something like that, you know, per hour. And so now you've got, you know, what's your daily, you know, metabolic rate, you know, something around like 3,500, 4,000 calories of energy your body needs to burn. And so now you put this into a workout, and the muscles during the workout are actively using those carbohydrates, and you're replacing them. And the main reason why you do the intra-workout protocol is to get the insulin release from it, to get that storage hormone in the blood, so that everything else that is in your blood, like creatine, like protein, like glucose, fuel storage, whatever, gets rammed into the muscle cells at the specific time where they're really sensitive to it. Now, like you were saying, is this a really healthy thing to be doing? No, it's not. But does it freaking work? Yeah, it freaking works. And it has a freaky effect, okay? And the guys, when we're talking about pro bodybuilders and we're talking about what these guys are doing with pre, intra, post workout carbs, man, and the amount that they're shoving down, they're not talking about this stuff, you know? They're not talking, this is the kind of stuff like when we're talking about pre-workout that the pros use or something, man, like you're not part of the initiated. When the pro tells you what he takes pre-workout, this is not included in that information, okay? that this other stuff is going on, okay? But when you see these big freaky science lab bodies and you're wondering, how are these things made? It's from doing big freaky science lab stuff with the body, okay? So while, you know, that
pre-intra post-workout protocol that I let out seems really extreme, and it is extreme. It is an extreme thing, okay? And like doing it can make you feel like weird because like having that much insulin in your blood can like have an effect on your brain and shit. So like I'm very aware that that is an extreme thing to do. It's not like some kind of like, you know, health focused thing to do or anything like that. Not by any means, man. But does it work? Does it help the person get freaky? Does it help the person get huge? Does it help the person get massive? Does it help the person get strong? Does it help them recover from their workouts faster? Does it promote a freaky cyborg body? Yeah, because this is another one of these extreme things. And bodybuilders are doing, they've got extreme looking physiques and they're doing extreme things to produce those extreme physiques. They are not doing mild, modest, shy things in order to produce those freaky, monster, psychotic physiques, okay? They are not doing normal things. They are not doing moderate things. They are not doing conservative things to produce those crazy science experiment bodies, okay? So with the podcast, I just like to, you know, not beat around the bush because I'm the kind of person that really likes to know the truth, right? I don't want to live in like some kind of world where I don't actually know the truth and, you know, I'm like living my life like based on lies and stuff like that. And I can't handle the truth, so I don't even want to hear the truth and I turn away from the truth because I just can't even handle that. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I want to know what the truth is. And so, anyways, it's kind of a funny question because it's like asking, could there be health risks to doing that protocol? And taking a huge amount of glucose dextrose. And yes, there can be health risks to doing that protocol. And again, when I say 200 grams, that's only for guys who are already bodybuilders. That is not for guys who are like, you know, like guys in the gym who are just like your average guy who's like 170 pounds, 180 pounds, even 200 pounds. We're talking about big ass motherfuckers, okay? When I'm talking those kind of dosages of dextrose, glucose. But with you other guys that aren't quite there yet, you don't have to use so much, you know? But maybe you do want to use a lot. It depends on how much you can metabolize. And you got to figure this out with your own body. Figure out how much you can metabolize. And just keep in mind that that pre-intra post-workout period is the time where you can shove or pile drive nutrients into your muscle cells. And it just doesn't work the same at other times of the day. So if you are wanting to get the best gains, you want to make sure that you're getting and just you're just nailing that nutrition around that pre-intra post-workout period. Like the other parts of the day, as you know, as long as you're getting some food in, that it's not as important as that super sensitive pre-intra post-workout period. That's the period where it's like, if you don't do it, why did you even go to the gym? It's like, there's if you're not getting the pre-workout, the intra-workout, and the post-workout meals dialed and nailed and doing it, it's like, what was the point of even going to the gym? What was the point? Because one of the things too is that the gym doesn't grow muscles. It gives the stimulus to grow muscles. And then muscles are grown later by the accumulation of dietary proteins. Okay? And that happens because of what's happening with your diet. So very important to have that pre, intra, post workout nutrition dialed. Yes, I gave a very extreme example for hardcore bodybuilders in that protocol. And you guys that don't want to be so hardcore, or you're not quite big enough yet for that, or whatever, you don't need to do that pre, intra, post workout protocol quite so hardcore like that, okay? Lighten it up a little bit. Make it more less extreme. You don't want to be so extreme. Make the protocol less extreme. But nevertheless, keep following the principles from the protocol, which is the manipulation of insulin, basically, during your workout and in that pre-intra-post-workout period, delivering the right nutrients that flip the switches and turn on the signals that cause muscle growth. Okay. And then the other thing, too, I just want to say one more thing, is that if there was a time to eat carbohydrates, that would have the least impact on someone developing diabetes, especially high glycemic carbohydrates. That would be when the person was exercising. And also, how much energy do you burn during your workouts? I think most of you guys are burning at least 500 calories of energy during your workouts, I would assume. So doesn't it make sense that you would have that on board during your workout, and that you wouldn't be taking from your stores during your workout, that you wouldn't be taking energy from stored energy during your workout, but instead you would have the energy on board that you'd put in through your mouth for that workout? So, you know, 200 grams of dextrose glucose is about 800 calories, but let's say, you know, the average guy burns 500-600 calories during his workout. So you're like on a 200 calorie surplus or something right there. And that's really not quite so extreme anymore when you think about it that way. Okay, next question. Zion King asks, what are your views on intermittent fasting and the bodybuilding lifestyle? Again, I like the idea of fasting is a good thing for fat loss. But on the other hand, you know, for guys that have a hard time gaining weight, it's the worst thing. Or for guys that have a hard time hanging on to muscle, it's the worst thing. Because this is again, intermittent fasting is an insulin control technique. So when you're fasting, your insulin levels are very low. And when you're eating, your insulin levels are very high. So a person that has trouble gaining weight, he needs to block his body's ability to break down energy from tissue, okay? And how do you do that? Well, you have to throw insulin into the body, because once insulin is in the body, the cells are locked and they can't release their nutrients anymore. Once the insulin is out of the body, the cells are unlocked and now they can contribute to the energy needs of the body again, okay? So if a person is eating small, frequent meals throughout the day, they're going to be having high insulin levels all day. And that's going to prevent their cells from going catabolic and putting the energy that was in their cells out into the bloodstream, because they've got insulin on board all day from eating all day, small, frequent meals. So that works really good for hard gainers. On the other hand, that small, frequent meals thing for guys who gain weight really easily, it's not as necessary for them. And if they do it, especially like when they were cutting, they could have serious problems losing body fat and having problems with like low blood sugar and shit because of secreting so much insulin all the time with the small, frequent meals, eating all day, and their body producing insulin in response to those meals, and then their cells being closed and not being able to contribute energy to the bloodstream. But these guys are also on low energy because they're cutting, so they're not eating a lot of food in general. But they're not eating a lot of food Plus, they're eating small, frequent meals, so they've got a lot of insulin on board all day. And so now what happens? Well, you're getting hypoglycemia all fucking day long. And you're always tired, weak, shaking, sweating, cold sweat, this kind of stuff. Because the insulin is blocking your cells from releasing the energy into the bloodstream that those cell, that your body needs energy. Because you're like dieting and you're on a low energy diet, a low food diet. And but you've, although you've got this like deficit of energy that needs to be covered by your body, those cells are locked and they can't contribute. And so what you have is your body kind of like freaks out and starts producing a lot of adrenaline and shit. And you get these hypoglycemia symptoms. And, you know, you feel very tired, weak, out of energy, and it doesn't work good. So when you ask, like, is the intermittent fasting lifestyle good for bodybuilding, or what do I think of it with bodybuilding? This is like totally a 50-50 question, where it's like, what is the body type? What is the guy's natural body type? And then let's, you know, use small frequent meals or use intermittent fasting to be able to balance this person's phenotype of what kind of a hormone releaser are they? What kind of body type do they have? And then you put them on different styles of diets that work good with their natural tendencies. So I think we went over that pretty good. Okay, David asks, hi Dan, after running super physiological doses of mainly 350 milligrams testosterone for 3 years, occasionally blasting 600 to 700, how much mass can I hold on to if I drop to an actual TRT dose, 200 milligrams? Love the podcast. Keep up the strong work. Yeah, so it's like I was saying before, somebody asked me a question, and I was saying that, you know, you're not going to really lose any muscle mass, to be honest, man. You're going to look different on the lower dose, okay? And it will basically appear that you've lost muscle mass because you look different, but you didn't. The same amount of protein tissue is still sitting there, but it isn't animated on these lower doses. And once you start the higher doses again, it's an explosion, okay? An explosion of gains where you can have like 15 pounds of like legit muscle, and it's like a combination of fuel storage and like some tissue kind of growing back and shit too, but mostly like fuel storage and shit when you go back on cycle, where it just comes back like within like 3 weeks, within 4 weeks, within 2 weeks, you know, it's like so fast. So that's the thing, is that like getting flat, not having the cosmetic effect of the steroids, does not mean that you lost muscle. You didn't. It's still there. It's not animated. And that's just the fact of like being on fucking anabolic medicine or being off anabolic medicine, you know? But, you know, if you say if you drop down to TRT now and do this, are you going to lose a lot of muscle? No. And just know that, you know, probably zero. You know, probably you're going to lose zero muscle, but you're going to look different. But just know that once you go back on again, that you're going to shoot back to where you were within like 3 weeks or possibly even like less, man. It's like lightning. When you look at experienced bodybuilders go off cycle or go on cruise and then go back on cycle again, it's lightning what happens to their bodies, how fast it is, and how it's every single time you see them for like 3 weeks, it's like, what the fuck is happening with your body? How can someone's body change that fast? Okay, that's experienced bodybuilders who have been using steroids for a long time and made big gains, gotten strong and gotten big muscle mass, and now going on and off cycle, cruise or blast, and the lightning speed at which the body responds to that. So don't fear going on to TRT. Don't fear the loss of the look of being on cycle. Don't fear the flatness, the not looking crazy and drugged up anymore, because that's actually not your muscle tissue. It's the pump of the roids. It's the pump of the chemicals and everything that stuff does to you. And, you know, just because you don't have that for a little while, just because, you know, you don't look like an alien for a few months while you do, you don't look like an alien on drugs, because you're not, you know, you're on TRT now, so you don't look like you're on drugs anymore. Well, now, and don't be afraid of that. Just get comfortable with that. Get comfortable with that and be like, I don't have to look like I'm on drugs all the time. I don't need that. And that's a very healthy mental mindset to have as a bodybuilder. Okay? But the fear is that, well, I don't want to lose my muscle because I've been working so hard to get this muscle. I can't take a chance on losing it. And the answer here is that you don't need to have that fear, because you're not losing it when you go to this TRT. And it's going to come back fast, okay? The look is going to come back fast, and it's going to be shocking. It's shocking how fast it comes back, and the people that see you when it starts coming back are going to be freaked out by what's happening to your body. How can a body change that fast, okay? This is not a concern. You see these guys who make comebacks, and you see the competitive bodybuilders making comebacks, and you just see these lightning changes happening to their body, and you know that somebody who hadn't been there before could never make progress that fast. It's impossible. Okay, as far as being on steroids and having been there before, well, boy, getting on steroids again, your body wants to get back to where it was before. All right. Max asks, Dan, what dosage of Arimidex would you recommend pre-contest to dry out? Okay, so this is another one of these things where it's like, if you tell people these like blanket dosages for pre-contests about like what is good and what they should take, that's pretty not good advice. you've got to look at people's bodies and evaluate how do they look the best. Don't just do this thing where you go like, oh, well, this is what people say to do, and so this is what I'm going to do. Okay? Some people look better going into the contest on high testosterone, and some people look better going on to the contest in no testosterone. And some people look better going into the contest on medium testosterone. Basically, what you want to do is you don't want to do anything crazy, okay? When you're in these last couple weeks, or preparing to get ready for the show, or you're doing a peak or something, don't do anything crazy, okay? You already look good. Now keep doing what you did to look good and peak it, okay? So we're making small changes and helping you peak your look instead of trying to do some kind of voodoo magic and change everything. Like, we're trying to just make small adjustments and get you looking your best, because you're already looking good because of all the hard work you've been doing, all the training, all the diet, all the roids, etc., that you've been doing, and the style that you've been doing to get you within striking distance of the contest. And you're looking great. And now it's 1 week before the competition. It's 2 weeks before the competition. Don't go do something crazy, man. Don't go do something crazy. Okay? Don't try to just change everything that you've been doing to get here. Okay? Keep it slow. Keep it steady. And make small adjustments. Don't do any voodoo magic to try and do some kind of like magic genie out of the bottle change of your body, okay, for the concert or for the contest. No voodoo magic, nothing crazy, nothing that you are totally unfamiliar with. Just make small adjustments to peak your physique. So if a guy was using Arimidex and he was trying to get rid of water retention. Don't do this thing where you hear that, like, oh, bodybuilders take every AI before the contest. They take all of them together and crash their estrogens, and that's how they look their best. No, 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 don't listen to that. Know what looks good on your body, okay? Know what looks good on your body and make small adjustments. So if you're looking good on 0.5 milligrams of Arimidex twice a week, three times a week, all right, be very careful, okay? Be very careful. And when you're coming up to the contest, try taking a little bit more, okay? Like, you know, you're taking it two or three times a week, try taking it three or four times per week. And experiment with that in the month leading up to the contest, so that when it's actually the week of the contest, you're not doing anything new that you haven't tried before. And this goes for the same thing too with, like, removing carbs and then getting like a super compensation, or not removing carbs and doing, or loading carbs up to the contest, and you know, how many can you take and stuff. You're practicing this stuff coming up to the contest. In the month coming up to the contest, you already got lean enough for the most part, you know, a month before or so. And now you're practicing, okay? You're practicing these techniques. You're practicing these different things to see what kind of effect it has on your body, so that you can peak your body, not do some kind of voodoo magic to your body. Because a lot of the guys, you see, they look their worst on stage. Why? Because they're doing voodoo magic before. They're doing crazy stuff that they're unfamiliar with, that they haven't tried. And they've got some guy who's like, you know, maybe a guru or something, or a self-proclaimed guru, you know, telling them, you know, to do this stuff. But you see all the time on Instagram and stuff, bodybuilders looking amazing for like months leading up to a competition, or even like, you know, the few days before the competition, they look incredible. And then they get on stage and you're like, what the fuck? What the fuck happened? He looks like shit. Like, what happened, man? Like, the whole thing is like melted. And it's because of doing crazy stuff. Don't do that. And everything that you're gonna do, practice it first, all right? So, again, don't take blanket statements and be like, okay, well, I have to be on no testosterone to look my best. Or I have to be taking high doses of all the aromatase inhibitors every day to be my best. Don't do any of that, okay? Do the stuff that got you there in the first place. Do that and make small adjustments in order to peak, okay? And the other thing is that try to make sure that you have time to practice these things leading up to the show, so that there are no surprises and, you know that you're going to look good. Don't go crazy, all right? Okay, Aaron asks, hi, got a question, Dan. Just wondering if you'd be able to talk about some of the countries you've been able to buy pharma-grade gear growth. Yeah, so like Ukraine, when I was living in Ukraine, yeah, you could buy like genotropin, norditropin over the counter there at the pharmacies, and a lot of Sustanon too. It was really good. And the prices for that kind of stuff, like, usually like the same as UGL prices in the USA. Turkey, like, for example, Turkey, it's Anadrol, Anadrol, Proviron, Primobolan, growth hormone, Sustanon, that's mostly it, what's being sold in the pharmacies in Turkey over the counter. And then you get to places like Asia or something, and they're not selling like a lot of anabolics over the counter in Asia. Like, people think that like Thailand is this place where like people like buy a bunch of pharmaceutical grade gear or something. That's not true. The only pharmaceutical grade gear that they really have in Thailand is like testosterone. Like, maybe you could find, like it used to be different.
You know, like 10 years ago, there was more to be had, especially like orals. But that's really dried up, and things are like pretty scarce over there in Thailand. So this question, it's an interesting question, and it's always in flux. It's hard for me to give you a really clear answer here, because it's always changing depending on what events are going on in the world. Like I was saying, Ukraine had a bunch of growth hormone and stuff at one point, but do you think there's a lot there right now? No. You know, they're not right now. So it's always changing. It's always in flux. All right. Sebum asks, Sebum reckons he hasn't touched Trent in 5 years. Do you consider that possible with the conditioning he's coming in with year after year, or is he talking rubbish?
Do you think he's telling the truth? Do you think any of these guys are telling the truth? Like, why are these guys even talking about this stuff, man? They should just not be talking about this stuff, you know? We've talked about it before on the podcast, but like, bodybuilding is like a weird community, and it was like established on lies in the first place, you know, like this whole thing about like Weider and Arnold and everything, and like those muscle magazines, like back in the 60s, 70s, were all showing these, you know, kids pictures of these guys on steroids and being like, okay, well, it's these Weider supplements or whatever, you know, that made them do that, and the amount of hours that they spent in the gym. So it's like from the very beginning, bodybuilding was like based on lies and shit. And it's really like stuck that way, you know? And it's unfortunate, but you know, you can't trust these guys. You can't trust these guys, what they're saying. And these guys, they shouldn't talk about it. You know, they if they're not going to tell the truth, they should just say nothing. But does the best guy in the world not use the best substances to get the best looks? Come on, bro. Come on. This is the competition where you're talking about the best people in the world, the best genetics in the world, and they're all competing against each other. But then it's like, oh yeah, but these guys don't use the best substances. They don't need that, but they're the champions of the world who beat all the other guys. Oh man, it just, even just thinking about that whole concept about the guys who are the best in the world not using the best substances for getting the best looks, it just like makes my head explode. I can't even go on. Okay. Suban asks, hi, I have been off cycle for almost 6 months and being on Accutane to get rid of acne for the last three. I plan to do another cycle in 6 to 8 weeks. And then he asks about like dosage of Accutane or something, and his dermatologist prescribes him 60 milligrams a day. Okay, so what you have to know with Accutane is that it's very toxic, okay? And when a doctor prescribes someone Accutane, they don't just put them on any damn dosage of Accutane and like that's that. They're actually taking their blood work pretty frequently. Like the first time that someone takes Accutane, normally after like 3 weeks, they're getting a blood work test from their doctor to see what that dosage is doing and to see how they're handling it. And then from then on, like, you know, like blood tests, like very frequent intervals, like 1 month to 6 weeks to 8 weeks as intervals for taking blood tests to make sure that everything is going good with Accutane. So Accutane isn't one of these things where it's like plug and play, shoot from the hip with it. It's actually fairly carefully monitored and it's pretty damn toxic. So you should definitely be careful with it. All right. All right, let's take this question. Scott asks, can your SHBG be too low on cycle and make your hormones less usable? Okay, so there's talk about SHBG, okay? But sex hormone binding globulin is what inactivates steroids from being able to be used, okay? So you have
this substance that binds up steroids. And then you have certain steroids that can't be bound by SHBG that are fucking strong, like trenbolone. Trenbolone is immune to SHBG. So when you shoot your trenbolone, all that trenbolone is active in your blood. And you know trenbolone is damn strong. Okay, well, testosterone isn't immune to SHBG. And you know testosterone milligram per milligram is much less potent than trenbolone. And then here's another thing, is that the more steroids that you take, the lower your SHBG will go. So we have this like consistent thing happening where it's like when things aren't affected by SHBG or SHBG, or we're taking high doses, which we know builds more muscle than low doses. That's a fact, that the SHBG gets lower. And so when you're at maximal muscle building firepower, SHBG levels are low, because more steroids equals lower SHBG, and we know more steroids builds more muscle. Then we know things like powerful substances like trenbolone are immune to SHBG. This is all a lot of evidence for SHBG being a negative factor in the potency and muscle building effects of anabolic steroids, and why, although there's some debate on, you know, is SHBG a good thing or is SHBG a bad thing? In my opinion, having very low SHBG levels as a bodybuilder is a very positive thing to have.
All right. So that's going to be the last question for the podcast today. It's fun talking to you guys, and I'll be coming up with another episode for you guys real soon here. So make sure to go pick up Ultimate Guide to Roids, 109-page ebook by Dan the Bodybuilder from Thailand. You know, if you just go to bodybuilderinthailand.com, it's I think it's the first article on the homepage where you can check it out and read like 20 pages. It's definitely worth it. It's my best content. You know, if you like the podcast, the book will blow you away.